I haven't done a crab chop.
Yeah, we haven't had the crab chop seasons. In season three yet.
Welcome to The Highway, the fastest growing podcast by far in Southwest Missouri. Yeah.
Leaps and bounds.
Yeah, easy. We are off site for the first time this season. Is that right?
For sure.
Oh, I mean, we haven't been anywhere, so the answer would be yes.
Well, right? we recorded one.
Filmed?
Yeah.
Whoa.
We recorded one earlier in the year at the end of season two that we saved for season three.
Okay.
That will probably be off. That was
off. Okay, gotcha. Well. Yeah. Well, this is the first one we recorded this.
Yes.
Just agree with me.
Okay, yes. First one this season.
I've got someone's about to help me out with this problem. I can tell that I'm having with you already. But speaking of her, it is the knee.
I'm weak in the knees, whatever you please, 'cause I'm in shackles, hypnotic lover taking over my mind. Your spell is binding, makes it so hard to find. She twists her hips and keeps it coming all night.
What's still coming though? Okay,
you can go ahead and fade that out at any time.
Yeah, I gotta cut it out there. What the hell? This is a family podcast. I know there's just scores of children listening to this podcast, and then you put
that
mutt on.
I know. I'm sorry. It was the first song that came to my mind.
So I want to introduce the guest. Normally, I introduce myself and the guest last because that's kind of the honorable thing. However, I think
you're not honorable.
Yeah, I'm not honorable. Number one, but number two, I think he is going to do a good intro
of you,
of me as well.
Okay.
So I think it's a give take because
did you let him know about that before?
No,
okay.
He don't need to know. He's okay. Off the cuff.
Okay.
Because you suck at it.
Yeah, no, I'm aware.
Yeah, and Burr's not here.
It's true.
So I'm going to introduce the man,
mm-hmm.
my friend, my pal, the, you know what? I'm supposed to call him the comeback kid.
Okay.
I like it.
All right. The comeback kid. Here he is.
I'm back. And I'm better than ever. Got a net.
The video is
so good. For making things better. Face facts. 'Cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whomever.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep going.
Good. How many you got?
My boy. Hey, wait. I'm going again. Stand by.
So much we played it. We like it. We
yeah. Which we didn't talk about. Are you going incognito?
Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
You're going Zach.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Z-Dog. Can I call you Z-Dog? I feel like that's a cooler thing.
Come back, Zach.
Ooh, come back.
That's good.
You're still employed for
first
now.
Off, timeout. Smee, you're fired.
First thing. Get the hell out.
I feel like Bird's not here, so we have to kind of fill in for you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Smee, you're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We wish you luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Whatever they may be.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to be, but you're not, your services are no longer.
Yeah.
It's not here.
Make something of
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, it's not going to be here.
Yeah. So my boy, Zach, what up, dude?
Dude, it's great to be on the show. Obviously a big fan. Yeah. Even though you are a huge piece of shit.
Yes.
The biggest of the biggest piece of shit.
Hey, like, King Turd on Shit Mountain, dude.
Dude, if we were at, a conference right now, right? So if we had a piece of shit convention, you'd be the guest speaker. The keynote speaker.
Keynote.
Everyone's waiting to be there, knocking down the doors to get in, so. But it's awesome to be here, man. Thanks for having
me. Awesome, dude. Well, I'll say having you here makes me feel better because having two pieces of shit in the room has just really, built this whole episode up.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably going to be the shittiest episode
this
ever.
This will be by far the shittiest one.
Outside of avocados and hash browns. Like, that one, clearly, the shittiest.
And I may have some more shit stories.
Oh, wow.
I've got one.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
I've got a couple.
Go ahead and write that down.
Yeah, make a note. Jot that down.
Okay. Shit stories. This looks like we're starting off good.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The agenda's really coming together.
Yeah.
It's downhill from here.
We're really just going to build it. I'll just introduce myself.
Okay.
In fact, I think this song will speak.
Oh, jeez.
Speak for itself.
Let's do it.
You ready?
I didn't know the theme of this episode was a theme.
Yes, sir. Here it is.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger
had better know the truth of wrong from right. Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you. Cause that's where the ranger's gonna be.
That's it.
That's a good intro.
Dude, I didn't mean to, but it looks like we're going to do, or I'm going to do accidentally. I think every epi is going to be a song about Texas. Did you know I'm from Texas?
I think I did know that.
Yeah. I've never told you though, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. Ever.
I didn't think so.
Not even twice. Not even
yeah.
Once. Like,
yeah, he keeps it pretty close. Yeah.
I play it pretty close. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you went from one state of freedom to another state of freedom in Missouri.
So that's true. Mm-hmm. And Missouri's a great state.
It is.
But being
there's
from,
not nearly as many songs about them.
Yeah, but being from Texas as I am, you know what I mean?
As one would be.
As one would be, right. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about real quick how our relationship started.
Yeah. So we went to DRE school.
Speaking of smut, no, I'm just kidding.
Speaking of twisted hips.
First off, you love it. So.
Yeah.
I thought we fired you.
Yeah. What the hell are you still doing there?
So we went to DRE school together in 2014.
Had never met before that.
Ever. First time meeting.
Roommates too, right?
Yeah, we're roommates.
So definitely smut.
Yeah.
Like, I think the thing, obviously, you work out. Do you work out?
Here and there.
Right.
Here and there. Do you work out?
I try.
Okay. Here and there.
He's even more private about his workout regimen as he is from where he was born.
Yeah.
In Texas. Right. Yeah. I didn't know. Right. So. But, I mean, you look like you work out. I don't know, dude.
As do you.
Right. Thanks, bro. I appreciate it. I mean,
do you guys need me to leave the room?
So obviously, we hit up DRE school. You weren't with your current agency at the time.
Correct.
But I knew your chief because your chief was, his son worked with me.
That's
at my department at the time.
That's when I was at Monet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was with my city department at the time. And then, so we obviously like hit it like right off.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was the Doc Martens.
Yeah, we both wore Doc Martens.
Okay, so definitely Smith.
Right.
With the DMs. We walked in with DMs, right? Tight shirts. Probably Hollister. I don't know what kind of shirt we had.
Was it Abercrombie?
It could have been Abercrombie. They were tight. Oh, skin
for sure.
Tight.
Mm-hmm.
And no sleeves, clearly.
Zero sleeves.
They had them at one time, but we flexed.
Yeah.
And just ripped off.
They
so.
Immediately exploded.
And we hit it off immediately.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we became good friends. And then, obviously, we went to the gym every morning.
Every morning, twice.
We went to,
on Sundays.
Did we go to the mall in Jefferson City? And like all we bought was like 10 protein bars each.
Yeah,
and like
stuff
in our bag.
Yeah, that's right. And then we worked at my current agency's Piece of Crap Gym at the time.
Yeah, and it's really expanded now. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was like in this basement. Remember that? It was like a swimming pool, and they filled it in with concrete, and there was just like some shitty weights on top of it.
Yeah, like all rusty and stuff. And but yeah, that's how we met. And then, so that was 14. I was married. Right, I'm still.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second, you got something to tell me?
Right? No, I love you. She'll listen to this podcast. I love you. So I had just been married. We've been married for a year.
Yeah,
and we went to Branson for a vacation.
Okay,
no, so in 14 we were married for a year, right?
Yeah.
So then my daughter was born in 15, and we came down and hung out with you guys, right? And you
met Springfield, right?
Yeah, you were in Springfield. Yeah, you were living in Springfield. So, we came down and we tried, like, obviously this, we didn't drink as much then, right? So we tried to get to an 08. Like, we're trying to figure out, like, what's it take to get to an 08? Yeah. And we got to like an 06 and we're like, we would definitely not.
Yeah, we're idiots. Right. Yeah. I think we were hanging from street signs and stuff. Does that sound right? I remember doing pull-ups from a street sign. Okay.
We squatted a bus, I think. So
you
took the front, I took the back.
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, with the smut thing.
So, but but
hey,
I mean, there
is that the name of the, is that the name of the episode? He took the front, I took the back.
Yeah, for sure. Tag team back again. So I know. So we went to Phoenix for our field certs, and that's
a whole story too. I think we need to tell.
I feel like a lot of listeners have probably seen the photo that permeated from that.
I hope they've seen it.
Yeah,
I know they've
seen
yours.
We can plaster.
Yeah, yours hasn't been quite.
No, I'm talking about his photo, but you were the photographer. Weren't you?
Yeah.
I can neither confirm. So we were in this hotel, like,
So we go
at the time.
We finished DRE school. We go out to field search in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're staying in a really nice hotel.
Yeah, like, it's like a 4-star hotel. Yeah. Like, I'm used to places that have free breakfast.
Yeah.
So I was bummed.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And we stay right downtown.
Yeah, downtown. And it didn't have a gym, But Gold's Gym was right behind it.
And you got a free pass.
And you got a free pass for the week.
Oh, that's nice. That's,
yeah.
That sounds like even better deal, I feel
yeah.
like.
But, like, that. To tell you how, like, bougie this hotel is, it's right across the arena from where the Suns play. And they have a lot of events there. And they say, like, all the guys from different teams stay there, like the wrestlers and
us.
All those guys. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we're better. We're top of the list.
Yeah.
DRE school, yeah.
Right, yeah. Missouri DRE. So, but yeah, there is a picture of you, and there's one of me.
Mm-hmm.
We got done working out one day, and there's this white fuzzy pillow.
So there's a couch, like on the kind of against the window,
right?
Mm-hmm. And there always is.
We both at the same time had this glorious idea.
We said, go ahead.
I want you to.
Okay, so we're sitting there, and I'm like, you know, it'd be funny, like if we took our shirts off, rolled up our shorts, and like posed on this couch with this pillow in front of our crotches, and we did it,
mm-hmm.
and then.
Looks like we're naked.
Right, we're not.
But we kept black socks on because it was funny.
Yeah. Right, it's funnier than white socks.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. right.
It's funnier. Mm-hmm.
And then we made the genius decision to send it to the state coordinator at the time.
All the instructors, I think, in a group message, right?
I think so. Then it got back to my department. Ended up possibly in a slideshow. Again, can neither confirm nor deny.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was a little embarrassed, but now looking back, like, hey, we need to update that.
Yeah,
like,
I'm cool. Yeah, yeah. I've grown a little bit.
Oh, that's the over. I thought that's what we're doing tonight was doing.
Yeah, we're about to do a reshoot.
The
yeah.
reshoot.
Yeah. I'm
down. I'll freaking put it against that window right
I'll
now.
I'll open the curtain.
Yeah, dude, I don't care.
So I'll go downstairs and do it on the couch at the bar.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah. Okay, well, I also think that just even if we don't do a reshoot, we need to have, like, a side-by-side picture for whenever we drop this episode to really get the, like, from a marketing standpoint, what's going to draw the people in. And I
yeah.
think
those, us posing those nude. Pictures, right. Yeah. Well, appears to be
appears,
nude.
Right. Not yes. nude, though.
Yeah, not nude.
So, yeah.
So mine did make it in a slideshow. I'll confirm that.
Yeah, so I think someone said that.
Yeah.
And then, so our current state coordinator, I don't say his name, but... he's
Alberto.
Alberto, yeah. And he's a good friend of mine. We actually worked together
yeah.
at the department. And I was almost certain that he was going to put it in a slideshow where I was present. And I'm kind of surprised he didn't because he was kind of threatening it. And I was like, oh, I hope you do. Do it. And I think that kind of turned him off. Like, he's like, oh, you're going to like it. I'm not going to do it now.
Yeah, like, yeah. Mine was a surprise. Have you heard that story?
Was it like you were?
It was
who was teaching?
Yeah, I was teaching.
Oh, okay.
I was teaching, yeah. So
oh, shoot.
It's the first conference I've ever taught, ever. So there's probably 250 people. I'm guessing 200, 250. You know, who knows? Maybe it looked bigger back then. That's what she said.
Right.
But so I walk out to go to the bathroom, leave my computer in there, right? Because it's a room full of cops. Surely they're not going to steal it,
right?
Which is the only thing I'm concerned about.
Right.
So I come back in, me and another guy co-present, and the very last slide right before questions, I click. And it's that picture.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, you soak it in, man.
Right.
I mean, like,
you're welcome.
What did y'all do to deserve that?
Right. Pick? You're welcome, guys.
So not embarrassed whatsoever.
I've got copies.
Like,
I'm signing in the
yeah,
back later.
I soaked it in.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, there's nothing you can do to me after that. You
right.
just had a freaking picture that looks like I'm nude up there in front
right.
of 700 people. So
it was probably, history. Like, retrospectively, it was probably good. Just like. Icebreaker.
Yeah.
Like, really?
All right. Now, what questions do we have?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yes, I will be signing autographs to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mine did officially make it in there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's how that it's happened. Yeah.
Moment. Yeah. But so we've been friends since then.
14.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. 24. So 10 years.
So 10 years. Oh my gosh. The 10
yeah.
year anniversary.
It's 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you have something? Do you have a cake or something for us?
Right. This
Me.
Is like the
Me.
10 year anniversary.
Major
like,
attention.
That's a big one.
What?
I
a cake?
Yeah. We're 10 years.
I'm sorry. I don't have a cake right now.
About candles.
No candles.
Anything?
Dude,
I have some Mickey Ultras. How
okay,
about that?
I'll take them if you have one of those Mickey Ultras.
Okay,
hey,
yeah.
I got some right there in that bag.
Okay.
Hey, you want to put them in the fridge?
Yeah, I'll do that.
They're,
you guys
they're
keep
not
going
to make it very long, so.
Oh, okay.
But
you don't want to put, you sure?
Yeah, that's fine. I've got to drink them before tomorrow, so
okay.
I got to be done. So.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so that's 2014, and here we are, you know, 10 years later, and still, you know, obviously good friends. So.
Still just freaking killing it.
Right.
Really. Let's go ahead and thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and crack one of these. I like to hold it real close.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So they get the crisp.
Right. Yeah, better. Okay. I'll do that too.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Ooh, a little bit of know it's just sound, it's like a sound effect button
yeah.
I have. We're not gonna be drinking.
We're not gonna be drinking, yeah.
So then what I plan on doing is all right, Smee's leaving to get food. What I plan on doing is tossing a Zimbabwe in pretty quick.
Yeah.
To get the full experience, the full exposure, if you will.
Yeah.
So, okay, there's something else I wanted to... Let's go ahead and go with the shit your pants story. first. Because I think everybody has a shit your
pants. Everyone story. Does, right? So when I was with that department, it's a busier... It's
which
a
was your first... You've only been at two.
Yeah, so I'm at that one and I'm at my current one now, right? So I was at that one. And it's... So if anyone listened to the fundraiser podcast, I highly recommend doing that. First, also, I want to note Sean Lonis, piece of shit. Nick Gam, piece of shit. Keltner, biggest piece of shit.
But who's allegedly going to crash this thing?
He said he was, but then he's like, I don't know.
He don't have the gonads.
No, he ain't got a hair on his ass.
Yeah, that's right. He ain't got a hair on his ass.
It's a busier place, right? It's one of those where you go call to call to call. And I had just had food poisoning the night before. Didn't want to call in. I was younger. Hey, I'm not going to call in. I love my job. You know, go get her. And I'm going to a call and like an emergency call. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a domestic or something like that in progress. And I get
So you're running hot.
Yeah, run.
Oh, this is dangerous.
In more than one way.
This is dangerous.
So you can start feeling this, you know, the stomach's growling. Yeah. Like it's getting there.
What did you eat? Like I had to set this whole.
I want to say it was Mexican food.
Okay.
Not Taco Bell. Not that level.
Like a sit-down Mexican restaurant.
Sit-down Mexican restaurant. You know, the chips
is
also coming.
Which is, in some ways, could be worse.
Right. And it was hot, so it's even worse, right? So, anyway, at that department, if you have to go to the bathroom, if you're a guy, right, you don't just go to a gas station or the police station and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to take a shit, like, you got to go, hey, I'm 10-6, room 5.
Yeah.
So, I had a Code Brown situation. The tummy was growling. I thought I could sneak a fart out. More than that came out. It started rubbing a little bit on there. And
I had to liquid or was solid?
I was liquid. Like, okay. Like not even a chunk. Like it looked like brown water, dude. Like, what did I say? That it's a Dairy Queen soft serve on a hot summer day.
That's okay. It's a thick liquid though.
Yeah. Like I had a Sean Lonis in my pants.
You were aware.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was rough. And it smelled terrible. I immediately whipped a U-turn, got on the radio. Hey, you got to send somebody else.
Shit my pants.
I'm 10-6, room 5. So my sergeant calls, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey, I've got a Code Brown situation. I've got to get to the station. Yeah. Get to the station. Obviously, at that point, everything's just done for. Pants, underwear.
So, yeah, that's one of the questions we have is, was it recoverable?
It is not.
Okay.
So after the one fart, it just kind of all went.
Like, would it fill a shot glass? Like, how much was it? Because normally we do hash browns or avocados.
Right.
However, I feel like if it's liquid, we've got to change the measurements.
I would have done, it would probably be with what was running down my leg, like a pint glass.
Oh my God.
Dude, it was rough. It was one of the, at the time, embarrassing, but now it's like.
Running down your leg?
Dude, it was rough.
So wait a minute. You're telling me it soaks through the undies.
So it goes through the undies, right? And then,
what are you kind of undie guy? You cotton man or what are you wearing?
I'm like an Under Armour boxer brief type.
Okay. All right. Same here.
So it goes through the underwear as I'm sitting in my patrol car into the pants.
Okay.
Then I get out to go run into the station to take care of the situation. And it's like running down my thighs.
Dang. Right? Both thighs?
Both thighs.
God.
Not even, dude, worst time of my life. So like, luckily I had a change in my locker. So I just went into the locker room, quick shower.
Yeah.
Put the others
on. Oh, you got a shower after that.
And like you said, it's not recoverable. So yeah. It's like, what do you do?
That's either a shower or a hose down.
Yeah, just call the fire department.
Yeah.
Just spray me down.
Just freaking spray him down.
I got to go to a call.
Hey, you're missing the shits of pants story.
Oh, man.
She's going to have to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to tune in. Okay. All right, we can't.
Tune in on Spotify.
We can't let our secrets out.
But we had, so I had one recently, and he's not going to mind that I tell the story. So at my current department, right, I'm on day shift now, mm-hmm. So and I have a good friend of mine. I'm not going to say his name, but he'll know with the story.
You know who you are, you sicko.
Yeah, you piece of shit. We go to a call, and he's like late showing up. And I just go, it's a domestic I work for a sheriff's office, so it's out in rural county.
Yeah, area. We probably should have established that.
Yeah, so I work for a sheriff's office.
I think you jumped into the importance to... The nude photos and the shitting stories.
Well, it's not nude. Does she have a fact check?
I don't know what she's supposed to be our fact checker.
Yeah,
she's not doing a very good job.
That's why she gets fired.
So
I thought we were trying to tease the illusion and try to keep it.
Well, we will.
Or are we nude?
There we go.
There we go. Yeah,
soak it in, folks.
That's right.
But we go to this call, and he kind of shows up late, and he kind of gets there, and I can see in his face that he's like,
you don't mind if I eat while we're talking,
no,
dude.
Go ahead. Dude, I get it. Hungry. I can see in his face he's not feeling well. So we end up the call. It's just a small disturbance, civil issue. We clear it. I go one way. He goes the other. He calls me later. He's shit myself. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, they're not recoverable. Don't know what to tell you. They're under a bridge somewhere. So.
Oh, he launched the skivvies?
Oh, he took them off. He threw them. He's like, there's nothing I can do about it.
That's a big deal. If you're stopping to take off your belt and your pants to launch your undies.
Yeah. Like, you're done.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
You know, some like raccoon found him though. Like, in his house, and like, it's just like, this is great. I'm living the dream.
I picture like the raccoons running around with like, it's like wearing it as a shirt.
Or on his head.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a great guy. Love him. He's one of the funniest guys you'll meet. But yeah, I don't think he'll.
Also throwing his undies out on duty.
Yeah.
Right. Clearly. Yeah. So, but yeah, so I'm at a sheriff's office now and pretty lucky to be there.
Okay. Going from a municipality to an SO.
Yeah. So I went from a municipality in the county I work for. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So pretty much just went from one side of the building to the other. So.
That's right. Because you're the sheriff's office and the city, the municipal office is in the same building.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird. You did a green light there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did a green light there. So, yeah.
I kind of forgot about that, which is weird because I don't know any other sheriff's office like that. Like, they're kind of usually doing their own thing.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I think it's a county owned building. I could be misspeaking. I'm not sure, but. I think it's a county-owned building, and the city has one side of it. But we usually work pretty well together, like on the office on the street level. You know,
yeah.
We work well together with each other, so it usually works out.
Which, as we should, by the way, that's one of those things that why agencies don't get along with each other. That's some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Right. Well, and I'm sure we'll get into it later. I've got a lot of friends over there, mm-hmm. but I'm sure we'll get into it later with some of the DWI work that we did in my county with just some of the guys, like, and the work that we did together. And clearly showed people, hey, there's an issue here.
So why do you think it is that like some agencies, like county and municipalities, don't work well together?
So I think, and I felt this way when I worked for the municipality, that like, hey, we're the city here. Like, if we're not here, you're not here. Sometimes those municipalities, and not all of them, think that they're better than the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's how it is. I think mm-hmm. there are some, but I think a small amount of them think that the municipality, hey, I'm a police officer, I'm better than a sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't know in Missouri is that department wouldn't exist if the sheriff didn't give them permission to exist.
Right.
So,
yeah, because they've got to be commissioned through the...
Right. And
the county, right?
But that municipality is 80,000 people. So, I mean, they need a police department, right? And the crime there is not low.
And, yeah, that's... That, yeah.
That... No, is that the opposite of... Is that the same thing as high, not low?
Yeah, it's yeah.
This is more a PC way to say it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whoa.
Well, what was someone said the other day? They're not homeless. They're like residentially challenged or something.
Yeah,
what
was
unhoused.
Unhoused.
Yeah.
Yeah. Residentially impaired. Not you're not you're a homeless person.
Yeah.
Right.
It is what it is. Like your situation sucks. I get it, but let's not be PC about it. Like it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So we have.
Well, are a very PC podcast.
Yeah. Every episode. Yeah. We're by the book.
We've got to keep it real.
Real
squared away.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But yeah, so I don't know if it's the hey, we're better than you, but I think the relationship between the departments is getting better, just because it starts on the, to me, it's on the street level. Like if we can work together, then clearly the admins are gonna be like, yeah, let's do better. Like and that chief, we have a new chief mm-hmm. and the sheriff, good guys. They're both great.
Yeah,
they get along really well. So.
So that was my question is because when I worked at a municipality then went to a sheriff's office. So first off, my municipality didn't have any problems with anybody that I was aware of. Right. And then when I go to the sheriff's office, and I think I've told this story on the podcast before where I'm on FTO and I go to pull in behind a city guy and my FTO is like, nope, they handle theirs. We handle ours. Move on. Like, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah. I've heard you tell that story. So yeah.
And so from my point of view, it was more at an administrative level versus the road guy level. Mm-hmm. We're like, we understand we have to back each other up and help each other out.
Right.
And I felt like the friction came from above. I don't know if that's something that
that
was the case then or not.
I don't think it's like the highest of the high. Like I said, my sheriff, I think he gets along well with the chief. So I think it's a situation where it may be like some of the people in the middle, mm-hmm. maybe not like the lower level guys or the higher
mid-level up. Management. Yeah. Always your problems, by the way.
Usually. Right, but me? I will say, mm-hmm. like I have.
He's got a mouthful of lettuce.
I will say, like a rabbit. Is she vegan?
She is.
Get out of here.
Get the hell out.
I'm not.
So truth be told, me and I haven't eaten since like 11, and it is 9:30.
Yeah.
So we're eating while right. Zach's just like, he's trying to talk as long as possible so right. we can get
to your food. Yeah.
So where I'm at now, like it's by far the happiest I've been.
Cool.
As an employee, like my sergeants back me up, the captain backs me up, and we'll get into it a little bit later, obviously, but the sheriff is a great guy and I have a lot of respect for him. And I have since he was one of my instructors in college and in the academy. So always had a lot of respect for him and what he's done with his career. I think 40 years. And he just got reelected with 100%.
40 years?
Yeah, 40 years of experience.
Dude, 40 years, I hope to be...
You're me dead, dude.
Yeah, I don't want to say I hope to be dead. I will be dead.
Right.
But...
Because your body fat percentage is
so low.
Yeah, like, so low,
my
survive.
Body will eat it, though.
Right, yeah. So, but he was... crazy. He's very, very intelligent. He knows what he's talking about. And like I said, he backs me up. And and like I said, we'll get into it later, but he gave me a shot that... He didn't have to get
second chance.
Second chance. Yeah. A comeback, maybe. Mm. You might call it.
Mm. So, you are the comeback kid.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the problems are really at the lower level.
Yeah.
I think there's a few that maybe like the veterans that are just crotchety and like, oh, I hate coming here, you know. But
background noise.
Maybe some of those guys. But I think the younger guys that are coming in, because we all go to the same academy.
Yeah.
So, like, those guys are, like, academy mates and friends, and they're coming out and going to different departments, and they're working together still. But like you said, we back each other up on calls. Like, I get calls from some of the city guys on questions about stuff, just mainly as a DRE.
Right.
So, DWI questions, DRE questions. And we have a list together, a call-out list for their DREs and me, since I'm the only DRE in my department right now. But we help them. They help us on stuff like that, so... we're going to do Saturation Saturday as well together. So
August 24th, right?
Yeah, August 24th. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about doing that. That is literally my only day off in like 45 days, but I might. We'll see.
Right. I mean, you kind of have to.
Yeah, like, dude.
But so being on day shift, obviously the DWI numbers have gone way down just because we're busier.
Yeah.
It's not because they're not out there.
Yeah.
They are out there. A lot more drugged drivers than you think, but we help each other out a lot at those departments. So. It's fun.
Yeah, and it should be. So I guess my message, not that anybody cares, but my message would be, if you're the freaking clown that's like holding a grudge against another agency, stop being an idiot.
Right.
Like, how dumb.
Well, and I'll say that, like, now if there's like if you have a legitimate gripe against one person, I can understand it.
Yeah, there's assholes. I get that.
Right, for sure. But not you can't judge an entire department by one person's actions. Right.
So. And here's the thing. Even if a guy's an asshole and I don't like him, I will still go back him up and do the best job that I can.
100%.
Right.
Well, I think, and too, from just like a civilian standpoint, like we don't always know the difference between the city guys and the county guys. And so like if you guys are at beef with each other, then it doesn't make sense. Like we don't know who's coming to help us or coming answering the call. So it's just, does that make sense to your customer or the civilian? For you guys to be having a pissing match over whatever is going on.
Well, and we have like working agreements too, with not like a contract working agreement, but like if city gets overwhelmed with calls, we'll go snag calls for them, help them out, like, you know, stuff like that. Or some of the traffic stuff we do is within that larger city. So some of the stuff we do is in that city. Like you said, a lot of them don't know the difference. Now, if you have like a state guy pull up, they're probably gonna know the difference between that, just because
their sleeves are so tight.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, they look jacked.
You're damn right, they do.
They better be. Like, and then it's either you need to get it tailored or you need to work out.
That's right. Yeah. There's only two options.
Solutions. Yeah, the shirt's fine. Like the shirt's fine.
I get a lot of crap from some of my guys, but I'm like, I mean, just be jealous. It's fine.
Yeah,
just
dude. Tailor your sleeve. Point number two. Mm. Tailor your sleeves.
Right.
Tailor your freaking uniform.
Tailor your,
Well, and that's a huge pet peeve of mine. Like, show up and look sharp.
Yeah.
Like, we have the exterior carriers, right? So our vests are on the outside. Like, and our department has we can't have facial hair. However, like by policy, but our sheriff has adopted, we do adopt a family for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to have a beard, you can pay $100 a year and you can have a beard.
$100 a year?
$100 a year. Oh, you can have a beard. Dang. So $25 a quarter. And it's, I mean, we do.
For the kids.
Yeah, for the kids, for the family.
This guy's got a beard for the kids right now.
I know. He's doing it for the kids.
Right. That's exactly right. And because my wife hates it when I shave because I look like I'm 12. So, but yeah, so it's still a lot of fun. I mean, we do a lot of charity stuff like that within the department.
Yeah, it's cool.
Special Olympics, obviously, too. So it's a great organization. Our department does a lot of stuff for it. So
that's good.
You ever jumped in a freezing pond?
I have.
In February?
I have, yeah.
It's.
I haven't, but I would.
Yeah?
Hey,
yeah.
Good, because I signed you up today.
That's probably true.
That's $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Ryan, you got to pay $10,000 to jump out of this airplane with no parachute. I'm like, I don't really think that's for like.
How high are we?
Yeah, here? Wait a second. What?
But yeah, so I've met a lot of great people through Special Olympics, so Ryan doesn't support your decision. I do.
I support it. It just caught me off guard that some stranger walked in off the street into the hotel and started chit-chatting with me about
something. I didn't see this person, so I'm kind of like, are you sure?
It's a 30, 40-year-old, maybe 45-year-old.
He was early, maybe mid-20s, probably with a little bit of
between
like social 5'2
and 6'8.
Developmental things going on.
Yeah, there's some social cues that...
Yeah, he was not picking up on.
Gotcha.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know how we started talking about that other than it is a good cause.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is what it is, Smee.
But if you're listening to this in Missouri, donate to Special Olympics Missouri.
Yes.
There we go.
If you're not, if you're somewhere else, donate to your local Special Olympics.
Yeah.
Great cause. So it does go to the athletes, for sure.
But, you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
All right. So what I'm going
to do. You need another drink?
Yeah, no, why don't you go?
Yeah, I've got. Yeah, okay. I'm still good.
You want one?
I'm okay for now. I'm gonna throw a Zimbabwe in the old lip here in just a second.
Do we have an audio for that? Like some kind of sound?
Let me see here. Let me see if I can. Let's see if you can hear the old Zim can.
Oh, ooh, yeah, you can.
That's a dang good.
That was a good sound,
man. Do I do a spearmint or a citrus? Have you ever had citrus?
I don't have Zim. I don't do Zins.
Don't.
So
don't.
My vice is the beer that we're drinking.
Yeah.
So
don't.
And
start.
And my wife yells at me enough for that. So, but I have a very addictive personality. That's why I can't do drugs. Like if I try
that's
something,
the
up, I
couldn't.
The greatest thing ever. Oh, that's
about any sort of moral compass. I'm just very.
That's something else that I learned from DRE school. We were talking about CNS stimulants.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. Was Ed Moses teaching that?
The
great Ed Moses.
Yeah, probably so.
And so we're sitting next to each
other. How cool is the name Ed Moses?
Right. And, like, he's, like, legit was undercover for a long, like, super great guy. But anyway, so we're talking about meth, and, like, we're sitting back there, and Ryan leans over, and he says, all I hear is blah, 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 this will make a great pre-workout.
So, so I had the best DRE training, obviously.
Yeah, so, like, sounds about right.
So, but I do remember, like, all those instructors, like, coming back and saying, that was the best class we've ever had. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
let's just hear talk about how awesome we are. So you tell us how awesome we are.
Oh, okay. I don't
know. Go with him first.
Yeah.
I'll let you think about what awesome, like the awesome things you want to talk about.
Yeah. Just process it for a minute.
Right. We'll give you some time.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, we have kind of like every season, you know, we started season one, we were hitting whiskey pretty hard.
Right.
On season one, right?
God.
Season two, I think were we still doing whiskey or did we?
I dialed the whiskey back.
Yeah.
I needed to.
Yeah. And then season three, he's clearly a zinner. Right. So I mean, maybe meth season four, right?
It feels like
a natural.
Might as well go all out.
Yeah, it feels like a natural transition.
I mean, we go all out with everything we do, right?
So yeah,
it's absolutely got to be meth.
Yeah, that's the only logical.
And good news is, you live in Missouri.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
easily
it's easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every corner,
easy day.
Yeah. So what is the segue into the story?
That's it right there.
Yeah, I think we
that's
got
perfect.
It.
Yeah.
So, started it municipality.
Right.
And are now at a sheriff's office.
Yeah.
When did you start at the municipality?
So I actually started with them as a civilian while I was in college.
Wow.
So I was doing So my hire date as a civilian, I still remember, was November 21st, 2006.
Dang,
I was a part-time booking officer for this municipality. I was doing my practicum in college, and I worked as a waiter. I don't know if you knew.
Dude, you're a waiter? Where at?
Chippendales.
I knew that, but what city?
I knew that. Right? So then did my first practicum with the municipality I worked for, and it's like a short internship. I think it was like 90 hours I had to do or something like that. But so while I was doing that practicum, I was sitting at the booking desk talking to their booking desk officer who still works there. Super great.
No way.
Yeah, dude, he's awesome. So he was kind of my mentor back there. But he's like, yeah, hey, we're hiring. One guy retired from the booking desk, which the booking desk there a lot of times is a second job.
Okay.
For guys that have retired from that municipality.
Okay.
And at the time, there were two or three guys that were cops there, had retired, and then became civilian employees. And being in college, it was actually really helpful. So, like, we didn't arrest a bunch of people at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But so in between, like, arrests, I would do my homework. So my GPA went up when I went to this job because I could work on homework a lot easier, right? So October of 2007, another one of the booking officers retired. So they're like, hey, we need to hire someone full-time. And I'm like, great, this will be awesome. So I went full-time in October of 2007. And that was my first, like, real job. I say real with quotations because when you're a kid from, like, rural Missouri,
yeah.
You work for farmers all the time.
Yeah, so you're not a farmhand anymore. Right. Yeah,
yeah, they're paying you under the table.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't pay me under the
table. Didn't. They definitely paid taxes. They did not pay
Social Security.
As did I.
All of that stuff, so...
Actually, I did get W-2s. That always caught me off
guard. You got for your farm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? That's
crazy. Yeah, randomly. You know, I was a kid. I wasn't saving for taxes.
Right.
All of a sudden, you get a W-2. I'm like, God, I owe freaking like $9,000.
Yeah, I didn't work on a farm, but I worked at the river.
Yeah.
And I just got paid cash.
But
you pay taxes.
But I pay taxes.
Okay, very good.
Obviously, yes. We're in the nation's capital.
We are literally in the
IRS. Nation's capital. IRS, we pay taxes. I swear.
And you know they listen to the fastest growing podcast.
Obviously, yeah.
Clearly. All of them. There's our 80,000. They're clearly all listening. So, but no, so in 2007, I went full time booking officer and I was still on midnights. I stayed on midnights and loved it.
Okay.
Some of the guys I work with, some of my best friends at the time, we became really close. I did a lot of stuff. I think, I mean, obviously at the time I was really immature still because I was, 19 years old in 2000?
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about 2007, I don't even remember that year.
Yeah, 20.
2007? What the hell was I doing?
All I remember was that I would just, like, buy large pizzas when they would have, like Tuesdays were, like, right. Half-price large pizzas.
Well, that was, like, Domino's, like, three mediums for 5 bucks.
And you just eat on that.
Right, and in college, that's a college kid's
food. Yeah.
Yeah, you just eat
2007,
on that.
I was definitely drunk in college. There's no, you're freaking working a full-time job. I'm just.
Yeah, right. Yeah, working.
I was welding. I was welding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Still drunk in college, but still welding.
Yeah, hanging he was around. Also drunk welding. Yeah.
Yeah. With no mask.
Yeah, dude.
Just looking straight into
that's why I'm going to die, just inhaling those chemicals.
Right. So I apply for several departments after I graduate college, right? So I'm like, hey, I want to go to a department. I want to be a cop. I actually get on with that municipality, and I'm one of the first ones that it's kind of like the norm now, but at that time in 2010, it wasn't that they would pay for your academy. Like, so I was the only one in my class that was already hired before we even went to the academy. So I was pretty blessed, you know, so young, hashtag. Stupid, immature.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag full sin blessed. But yeah, so definitely still immature. Probably shouldn't have been hired, but blessed that I was. And I was happy to be there, right? So was there. And then obviously I went to all the crash stuff, right? So. A little backstory on me, like my father was killed.
Yeah, we should talk about this.
Yeah, so my father was killed by a drunk driver in Osceola, Missouri.
Okay.
So he was killed by a drunk driver when I was 7 years old. So since then, I knew what I wanted to do. Like, I'm going to be a cop, going to make sure this doesn't happen to other families, right? So kind of my, I like MAD, I love MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, mm-hmm. Great. They call them victims. Like, I don't consider myself a victim.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to step up and I'm going to try to make sure it doesn't happen.
And I'll say, neither do they. Like,
right, yeah.
I mean, I didn't really know that when we did the potty with them. I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't mean to say victim. That's not. I don't mean that as a degrading.
Right, yeah.
Like, do they say survivor or what do they call them?
Maybe. So we went to the law enforcement memorial. They call them survivors.
Yeah, survivors.
Right, so. But yeah.
Okay, yeah, I might have forgot for like 2 seconds. But...
This is why she gets fired every
day. She's also several glasses of wine in, so keep that in mind.
No, I get it. So, but yeah, so he was killed in 1994, January 1994. I was 7 years old. And he and my mom were already divorced.
Sure.
But, you know, still losing your dad.
Oh, like, yeah, that doesn't change. Right?
So, so I grew up without a father from seven till today. And I kind of made that promise to myself that I'm going to try to make sure this doesn't happen to other people.
Yeah.
So I knew I wanted to be a cop from the beginning, right? I think And I'm not trying to blame it on not having a father, but I think some of the decisions I've made in my life absolutely go back to not having that male mentor or that male figure in my life. So back to the career thing. So 2010, I go to the academy, graduate December 2010, get firearms award, class leadership award. And I was a form leader. Loved it. I loved doing it. I finished like third in my class or something like that. So, and the guy that finished one's like DEA or something like that now. Okay. So like he's killing it. He's doing great too. But 2000, I go to basic crash school. I go to what's next? Advanced crash school.
Yeah.
And then reconstruction. All in the same year. All at Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
So I slept on those terrible beds.
Had bad beds there?
I know, it's a shocker, right? Right. So it's a state agency. It's a government ran agency. You'd think they'd have the best.
I bet they've got new mattresses within the last year.
Probably. And a half. I bet.
I'm just guessing.
Just an assumption.
Yeah.
But
so, I have no connection, but just guessing.
I wouldn't know. Anyway, so go to those. Because I had talked to our, so that department has a traffic division, mm-hmm. right? And I went to the traffic sergeant and said, hey, I want to be in traffic. What do I need to do? He said, go to these schools. Okay, I'll go to these schools. And those schools that are paid for, like, right? So, or maybe they're not paid for, but like, it's super cheap to go for the school because you stay on campus. And all your meals are provided. Right?
Yeah.
So it's fairly cheap to go for a full week. And then I think advanced recon's 2 weeks. But ended up going to A-Ride. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Knew I wanted to be a DRE because some of the people that I really look up to that are still in that department, they were DREs. And I'm like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know that existed.
It's the shit.
And it's awesome. Like, it's... To me, like, and this is going to sound really, really conceited, but I think it's the highest certification, most honorable certification you can mm-hmm. have in law enforcement.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Just because, like, it's so difficult to even get into the school
mm-hmm.
and then to keep your certification, be even somewhat decent at it. Like, you have to be like, but it's good that we have resources like you and some other people in the area to, like, call and bounce ideas off of. Like, I know people call me like, hey, this is what I got. What would you call? So, and it's, you know, it's standardized. So I can look at your report and say, this is what I would call because of that.
Would you say it's even more difficult to get in twice?
It would be difficult to get in twice. It would
be very difficult.
I would think.
That's just a little clip note on my little
bullet
point here I want to talk about.
No, that's a good question. I'm glad you came up with that off the top of your head. But I don't know where it came from. But obviously, police work in the mid-20 teens was kind of rough with, especially in Missouri, like with the Michael Brown situation.
Yeah. Right?
So, obviously, cops are all like, hey, let's wait for the facts to come out.
I prefer to rush to judgment before the facts come out.
Just make
and then
make
rash decisions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then later, helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then never regret what the
situation No.
Yeah. It usually helps every situation.
It does help.
Yeah. Just the gut reflex, the
emotional reaction.
Yeah. If you don't know the Michael Brown situation, I highly recommend you Google it. Or Bing it? Do people still Bing?
Bing's a thing. I don't know.
I think that people Bing, but they just say Google. They're like, I'm going to Google this, and right. they type
they
it into Bing.
It.
It's just become a verb at this point.
Because I think Yahoo's a thing, too, still, right?
Yeah.
I have a Yahoo email address. So
they're
for real?
Thing. Dude, I it's think old school. Google is one of those things that, like, you have a Band-Aid. No, they're not all Band-Aid brand, but
yeah, they're all Band-Aids.
I mean,
that's Q-tip. Another thing like I need Q-tip, to talk about that really upsets me. Like, Band-Aid, Kleenex, Chapstick, Q-tip. Those are brand names.
They're brand market, names, dude. Not like product names. Yeah.
Xerox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't say Xerox a lot, so that might be you. Right. Like, I'm going to go
to the next. I need a Xerox.
We work in government. Right. Xerox.
Yeah.
Fax machine.
I'm going to go down to the lobby and Xerox
what
something.
What about this one? Shoes. I think we call them all the same thing.
Right. This thing's a piece of shit. That's what we call. But so we went to DRE school, right?
Yeah.
2014. We did our field certs in Phoenix. Loved it. I think I got up to 14 observation or 14 after training. So
okay, so you had what? Was that 36?
So I did. So we had 10 out there.
Should have 12, right? 12 and 14.
12, yeah, 12 and 14. Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, you're right. So 12 out there, and then the 14 that I had with in my department, and so I have a buddy, a best friend since the first grade, right? He was starting to do a rap music thing. And he'd already released one album and was getting ready to release another one and wanted to do a music video with one. And again, it was after the whole Michael Brown situation.
So tensions are high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Like obviously the microscope's on cops of at that time. Mm-hmm. Tensions are high between the different communities, not just police and civilian, but, you know, minority communities and law enforcement. And I get it. Like, people feel that some others are mistreated.
Sure.
So he calls me and says, hey, I want to do this music video. Would you help me out? Like, I'm like, yeah, you know, my best friend's in first grade. We'll do it. Whatever you need me to do. He's like, all right, well, it, you know, it's going to make police look really good. I need to be in uniform. Awesome. Still. So this is late 2015, probably, when this happens. And still, so I'm what, 29 at the time? Still not mature enough. Still immature, stupid, make bad decisions.
I've made 10 today, just so we're clear.
Right, yeah. So I don't know if you know this. I'd never told my wife that I was doing this.
You didn't run her by her?
Not at all. Now I do. Now I make all decisions. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, even going to the grocery store, like, hey, should we get Heinz or should we get Heinz?
Craft, yeah.
Dude, I think keep the wives as far away from everything as possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't even have them, like, around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, I mean, that's why they get paid 77% of what we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their brains are, like, three-fifths the size.
Yeah, they don't even know that they're not being left out of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So I didn't tell her. And then, so we do the video. And in the video, it's a black and white video, but I hold a couple signs up. And I'm in uniform at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The signs say, like, right is right, wrong is wrong. And I think, like, Police Lives Matter or something like that, or Blue Lives Matter or something like that. Of course, this is, like, the advent of the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, right around the, yeah.
And then everybody was trying to, like, oh, well, don't all lives matter? So, like, the Blue Lives Matter thing came up. But, sure. So, do the video. He kind of sends me a sneak peek of the video. And I'm like, all right, yeah, cool. You know, it is what it is. So, a couple weeks later, he releases it on YouTube, and somehow, YouTube... You ever heard of YouTube?
Is it a small startup company dealing with rental cars?
100, dude, spot on.
Okay,
yeah. I think it's another one of those things that is just like you're going to go YouTube that, and it may or may not be watching it on YouTube.
Right.
But you're going to
be watching it on?
Vine.
Remember Vine?
Vine's a thing?
TikTok.
Vine was a thing back in the day.
Oh, it's not anymore, though, right?
Right.
It's like YouTube does have the market at this point.
I would think so.
For long videos, but yeah. TikTok's got those like TikTok took over Vine.
So it's on YouTube, and a friend like sends it to me, and I'm like, oh, you saw the video, cool. The next day, my sergeant calls me like, hey, bring me your gun and badge. You've been put on administrative duties. So I take in my gun, my badge. I'm in the traffic division at the time, so I had to take my car in,
mm-hmm.
and then I had to have somebody bring me back. And again, I lied to my wife. I was like, hey, they need to work on my car. It's not a big... Because I'm thinking, this is just going to blow over.
So yeah,
like,
lessons have been learned.
Yeah, so like, this is going to blow over. This
keep them out of it.
I think it's going to blow over. Hey, they're just working on my car. No big deal.
No, like, big deal.
I'm working Monday through Friday because I don't have my car. Like, I just got to go in the office and do some stuff. No big deal. And then it ends up, like, on the front page of the paper of this municipality I work, the newspaper. Newspapers are still a thing, too.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
But,
wild times.
So,
boy, that's wild.
So, clearly now, like, I have to tell her what's going on.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously, I feel like a piece of shit. Like, not like me and you piece of shit.
Yeah, not like piece of sheets shit. Of shit like we are now. Right. But a real
like,
piece
of shit. Yeah, like a real piece of shit. So, like, the video had some, like, cursing in it. Like, and I think, like, Al Sharpton's picture gets spit on and thrown down and stomped on. And whether you support him or don't, like, it's kind of a disrespect.
Yeah, of course. Anybody
do that anyway, right? So,
yeah.
And at the time, I didn't think it was a big deal, but obviously looking back, like, oh my God, I was such an idiot.
Yeah.
But I was terminated from that spot, and I tried to fight it with our FOP, like, through arbitration, and lost. And obviously, like, worst time ever.
Oh, devastating.
Like, yeah. We've got our daughter, and she's young. She was 2 when I get fired. So get fired and I go to work. Like, I've got to find a job. I've got to
help. Yeah. You got a family,
right? I got a family. I got bills. I'm an adult now. Like, that was one of my favorite things, was when bills were none of my business. Like,
yeah.
I don't get, ooh, what's that?
Yeah.
Water bill. But so I go work for a tree company and I learned a lot there. Like, I'm like, hey, this is great. You know, I'm learning a trade, how to properly cut a tree, how to properly trim a tree and do that stuff. But it wasn't paying. Like, it just, I went from a job where I was making $45,000 a year in 2015 or 16 mm-hmm. to making like $10 an hour. So way less, right? So what is it, $20,000 a year, $21,000
Oh, geez, I don't know.
So, yeah.
How much? An hour.
Yeah.
And if it was bad weather, we didn't work, so you didn't get paid. Ended up going to work for a delivery company, delivering packages, delivering the Purple Promise.
Does it start with Fed and end with X?
I would say that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did you know I work for FedEx, too?
Oh my gosh, the common threads.
Yeah, dude. We're like
the same
person, bro.
Deep.
Yeah, bro.
So I did that. I got on. It was an ad in Craigslist or something like that, and I just answered the ad. Went and talked to the guy. Like, it wasn't anything like a regular interview. Like, we just met like
in an alleyway
or something.
Yeah.
Just met an alleyway. Needles you had to like.
Yeah. He was like, honestly surprised you showed up because it was an ad on Craigslist.
So I show up, and it's one of those gigs where so it was FedEx Ground. I liked it. Like, I was like, oh, I'm back out on the road, making good money for my family, getting a bonus at the end of the year. Well, he ends up, so that's 2017. Into 2016, I start there, like during peak season. So, like, right after Thanksgiving, all the way to Christmas is peak season.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, hey, full spot open if you want it. Yeah, absolutely. So, work for him full time, going to Iowa every day. Wow. Met some great people in Iowa, still friends today. He ends up losing the route. The guy who gets the route calls me, and I had just applied for a Department of Revenue, like a dealership inspector.
Mm.
So I was thinking about going to do that, right? So,
give me a cup.
And then the new contractor calls me, and he's like, hey, I've heard great things.
You're in good shape. You're good looking. You're
jacked.
You're people super like smart. You.
Right.
Yeah, there's no negatives about you.
Right. Like, why would you not?
You take really good semi-nude photos, right. Like that type of stuff.
Not nude.
Semi. Yeah.
If you want to see it, it's around somewhere. So he convinces me to stay there, and I get a huge pay raise. Like, I go from making $135 a day to getting paid per mile, per stop, per package delivery. And I think I ended up going to like almost $53,000 at the time. So pretty good money for 2017.
Before the inflation that we have right now.
Yeah, pre-COVID. The thing that's not inflation, if you ask some people in our government. But anyway, so do that. And I actually apply. I have a buddy that works at a federal prison in Kansas. And he's like, hey, we're hiring like anybody because we need people. I'm like, would they hire me?
Even like pieces of shit.
Right, even pieces of shit. I'm like, hey, would they hire me with this past termination? He's like, yep, not a problem. So I go apply. I go do the testing, all that. And I call him. He's like, hey, what's coming up next? And I tell him, like, hey, that's like, you know, the urine test. He's like, oh, yeah, you're hired. Like, those urine tests are super expensive. They're not going to do that if they're not going to hire you. Everyone I know that's done the urine test has gotten hired. I'm like, sweet. So I put in my 2 weeks. I'm like, hey, I'm leaving. He's like, what would it take for you to stay? And I like the job. It's just that I wanted to get back into law.
Yeah, enforcement. You like the job. You didn't necessarily love it, right. If you will, like copying.
Right. So we, I was like, well, I need to be promoted. Like, he's like, okay, yeah, whatever. This is what I'll pay you. And I think it was.
He promoted you above himself.
Right. Yeah. I became.
You became his boss.
Yeah, I became like superior overall. So
superior overlord.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So he put me in charge of all the Iowa routes. So like, I had to learn all the other routes too, but I was like, all right, this is going to be great. But I learned very, very quickly that I did not like that position.
Yeah.
Not because I didn't help the other people. It's just that there was a lack of communication and too much communication, right? So like we would have, I think we had 5 or 6 managers and he covered a large area, right? But I was in charge of the Iowa routes. But you'd have one manager tell one driver one thing, and then another manager would tell the same driver another thing, and then another manager would tell the same driver a different thing. So you've got 4 or 5 managers telling one driver 4 or 5 different things. So like I said, there's a lack of communication between the managers, but too much communication to that one driver. So I was like, man, this sucks. I said, hey, I think I want to get back into it. So we're at Walmart shopping one day, and the sheriff is shopping too. Like, it's late at night. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, it's 8:00. Don't you have people to do this?
Yeah.
So we walk by him, and like I said, he was my instructor in college in the academy. He's a very nice guy. He turns around, he sees me and my kids and my wife, and we start talking, just chatting. And we part ways. Like, hey, man, it's good to see you. He's like, how's everything going? The kids look great. Awesome like that. Like 2 weeks later, we go back to the same Walmart to do another grocery trip, and he's there again. And I'm like, man, this is great. Go talk to him. Hey, how's it going? Everything's good.
Typical guy, we're still looking for toothpaste.
I'm talking to her, and I'm like, hey, I really want to get back into it. Like, maybe this is a sign. Like, if we see him again, like, I'm going to talk to him. So another couple weeks, maybe a month later, we go back to Walmart, and he's there again. I'm like, okay. I said, hey. And he's like, in the meat section, right? And we come out of an aisle, and I see him, and I tell my wife, I say, hey, I'm going to go talk to him. She goes, okay, do you want me to come with you? I'm like, nope. It's like, this is something I have to do on my own. So I go over. They had just passed a tax to hire more deputies. And obviously, like, we're still looking, right? Like, most agencies are short.
Yeah, let's face it. Yeah.
And I went over and I said, I started talking to him. I said, I screwed up. I don't blame anyone else but me. I made the mistake. I should have done better. However, I want to get back into it. He's like, okay. I was like, I don't want a favor. I don't want you to bend over backwards. I just want a shot. Would you give me a shot? So he tells me, hey, go apply. So I apply. He said he's going to talk to some people. Get it. I mean, he's a politician, right? He's got to be elected. Yeah, yeah. He wants to make the right decision for not only for his political career, right? So, but also the department, the people that are already under him. And he's a very, very good leader. Like, he says all the things that, and I agree, I think that he's honest with it. Like, hey, I can't do this without my people, and I have great people working for me. So he goes to talk to some people. They call, and it's weird. The guy that calls me and says, hey, we need you to come in for an interview was my roommate in college, was one of my roommates, and he's an investigator. So I go in, do my interview, and my current captain's on the interview board. And oh, and I also have a, there's a lieutenant that works there, and we work together. He has always worked for the county agency, and I worked for the municipality. We worked in the same jail, and like, we chatted all the time. We're very, very good friends. Like, I 100% think he went to bat for me, right? So I get up there, and they have like scenario-based questions, right? And the scenario-based question is, it's you and one other guy working. You get sent to a domestic. And so you're going to the domestic.
And you're like,
and
I shit my pants.
Right. I shit myself. I pull over, change, clearly. Just throw them away, right?
Is that the answer?
Is that right? So, but
son of a bitch, you're hired.
You know what? Right here. You know what? You're my undersheriff now. So my current captain in patrol says, going to the domestic, you get behind a car, you believe it to be an intoxicated driver. Obviously, in our line of work, we're like, boom. Yeah. I'll do 100 DWIs before I do one domestic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, I should not say that. Like, here's, so I finally like learned somewhere to stop, think about it, and then decide, make a decision. So I obviously was like, well, I asked a bunch of questions. I was like, is the domestic in progress? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, are both parties still there? I don't know. I'm like, where are we at? He's like, I don't know. This is the question. This is all we got. I'm like, all right.
I need some more deets though.
I was like, begrudgingly, I'm like, I radio in. Hey, there's this car. Looks like this. Here's the plate. This is the direction it's going. It's all over the roadway. Possibly 1055. And then go to the domestic. He's like, okay. So go through it all. CVSA. And January 24th, which would have been my grandparents' anniversary, I get hired. Like, they call, cool. Like, hey, come in, sheriff wants to talk to you. He's like, when can you start? Start date was January 24th, 2022. And all of my FTO, like, so I've been out of law enforcement since 16. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm like 124 post hours behind.
Yeah,
like almost the whole academy.
Yeah, right?
So I have to sit in the patrol office for like a month, from like 8 to 4, just watching videos on like the Sheriff's Association and Police One, like trying to get all my post credits up.
Dude, 124 hours of online training. I'm jumping out of a window.
Dude, I hate doing 8 hours.
Yeah, but, dude.
Like, I'll put it off as long as possible.
I record them for people, and I don't like doing that.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, but I get hired again, and like, it's a complete blessing to be where I'm at. Like, I think, like I said, I tell other people, I can't believe that they pay us to do this job.
Yeah.
I've been extremely blessed to be where I am and to have the people I work with. all my FTOs, I think all of them, I was older than them. So it was one of those things like, hey, you have more experience than me, so just do whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one FTO, and we're on day shift, and I stopped like 12 cars. And like, you could tell he's getting like aggravated. I'm like, dude, we're not doing anything else. Let's stop some cars. And like, my like specialty is like expired plates. Like I could spot an expired plate from like a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
So most of those cars I stopped were expired plates. And like on like the 10th stop, like his just dry humor. He's like, I get out, approach the car, make contact, come back. I'm running my computer. He goes, can I ask you something? I'm like, great. Yeah. What's up? He goes, you ever done this before? Because you're really good at it.
Like, duh.
A couple times. So,
duh.
But like, he knew the whole story too. So like, I obviously, like being a former DRE, like when I got fired, I lost my DRE cert.
Yeah.
You have to be with a law enforcement agency.
Right.
So that was one of the biggest things, is getting that call from Ed saying, hey, I sent you this email, but it got rejected. And telling Ed, like, hey, yeah, I'm not with that agency anymore. Oh, well, you're going to lose your certification because you have to be with an agency. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Dude, yeah, what a kick in the nuts.
So I get released from FTO in June, or late May of 22. And the whole thing was like, hey, don't stop cars in the city. Like, the city has their own police department for that. They'll take care of it. Now, if you're passing through the city to go another part of the county, that's fine. Do that. Stop a car if you have to, but don't stay in the city and stop cars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, I get it. So there's like, I wouldn't say I stepped over the line, but I kind of like got as close as possible, like hovered over it a little bit with that.
Yeah.
Ended up arresting 57 drunks, 57 DWIs. And
first year?
And yeah, the first 6 months I was back.
Oh, 6 months, okay.
So 2023, I'm still on midnights. And I'm like, I'm going to hit 100. Like, I'm getting it. Like, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to get it. Not, I don't care what it takes, but I'm going to do everything in my power to take as many drunks off the street as possible.
Yeah.
So, like, my first drunk I got was the morning of New Year's, like 3 a.m. The guy gets out of his car in the drive-thru and, like, urinates in the bushes.
Mm.
This guy calls in, like, hey, this guy's urinating the bushes in the drive-thru. Here's his car, blah, blah, blah. And city's blacked out, right? So I'm like, I call dispatch and I'm like, hey, that DWI at Taco Bell, I've got that. So like, I go like, I wouldn't say codes, but definitely faster.
Is it the Taco Bell downtown?
No.
Okay.
So this one's actually up by your current employer up north.
Okay, yeah. I've worked the one downtown. It's
right.
It's pretty profitable as well.
It is.
Productive, I guess I should say.
So.
Lucrative? Lucrative.
Yeah, productive is okay. It's a good, lucrative is
fine. So I go get that one. He ends up. And it's weird at that agency, this might give away where I was at, but that we didn't do SFSTs. The prosecutor at the time did not want SFSTs, which makes the report easier, I guess, because we just use a PBT. Hey, here, blow. What happens if they blow all zeros, but he's clearly impaired, right? So
yeah.
Like, from our perspective, we know that. But he gives a PBT, blows like a 1.6, arrest him, put in my report while we were there, write a good report. And I think I ended up with 17 in January and then ended 2023 with 127 DWIs. So, but like what is not told in there is I had to go back to A-Ride. So.
Yeah, dude.
So, and that's, you were supposed to be my A-Ride instructor.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, freaking Trash Panda.
Yeah, Trash Panda shows up.
She's so garbage, man.
Dude, the worst.
I don't even know, like, why'd you guys hire her?
You know, that's a question that I still wonder today. Yeah, I still wonder today.
But she ended up passing me, reluctantly, I think. It's probably because I'm better at it than she
is. Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah,
for sure. So I go to A-Ride in 2023, and I'm like, hey, I want to go to DRE school. And the sheriff is getting irritated because I keep asking him, hey, I want to go to DRE school. It's grant paid. It's all free.
Yeah.
So I think finally he just got sick and tired of me asking and just finally, like, whatever, just
do it.
Which
is perfect.
Right. Like, I'm going to annoy you until we get this done. Like, I need a decision.
Yeah.
So we go back to DRE in 2023.
Dude, forget that.
So, and everybody I've talked to is like, I would never do it again. But again, like, my dad was killed by an impaired driver. So I'm going to do whatever I need to do.
I knew you were coming back.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. And when I got the call, I was like, hey, you might be in. I'm like, yeah, whatever it takes.
Somebody called you and said that?
I think so.
That's weird.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't
have done that. Yeah, probably not.
But it's okay. I got the hookup, so. But I feel like I earned it, right?
You
like,
did.
Like, it's not one of those things that, again, that was handed to me. I feel like everything that I have in my life, I've had to work for. Even if a lot of the stuff that I went through, everything that I went through with the termination is all on me.
Yeah.
Like, I did it. I screwed up. I get it.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about working well with other departments. There are, from your department, a guy from the municipality, and then me. And I wouldn't call it necessarily a competition, but just like a friendly.
You want to work hard. You want to outwork
the other person. I want to look better than him, right? Yeah. So we were texting, like we had a group chat, like, hey, how many did you get tonight? How many did you get tonight? And one of the guys from your agency was like right behind me. Like I knew he was close, but he would never tell me how many he was at.
Perfect. And it's my style.
So I wanted, my goal at the beginning of the year was 120. I'm like, 10 a month, cake. I could do that. Yeah. No big deal. So I stopped a lot of cars in the city. I did a lot of grant work in the city in DWI time, right? The prime time. And ended, I got to 124. And I didn't like that number. I'm like, that's a weird number.
It is a weird number.
That's not good. So I told my wife on New Year's Eve, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go in and try to get one before the end of the year.
Yeah, 125 solid.
Right. 125 is a great number. So I go in and a deputy stops a car and he calls me. He's like, hey, can you come to my location? It's 2100 hours, so 9 o'clock, right? I go there, do fields on her. Clearly intoxicated. She just left the Chiefs game, I think.
Oh, nice.
And so she made it from Kansas City, what, 50 miles on the interstate?
On I-29.
Yeah. So arrest her. So there's 125, right? I'm like, boom, yes. Take her in. Dispatch calls me on my cell phone. I'm leaving the jail. And like, hey, where you at? I'm like, hey, I'm leaving the jail. Well, hey, there's this guy that's in the gas station two blocks away. And he like crashed into a pillar in the gas station. All of our guys, you're the closest one to it. Would you take it? I'm like, duh. Like, you don't have to ask me to take the DWI. If I show up, I'm probably just going to take it.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I'll beat you up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm taking this DWI. You want to know why? Because I'm strong.
Yeah.
So I get there, and he does not speak English, but he's clearly intoxicated. Mm-hmm. So, and he refused to do fields, refused PBT, get on the translation line. He gets implied consent. He says he'll blow. Now I'm at 126, and it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, I got to get four more.
Mm-hmm. Got to.
126, weird number two.
No, not a can't do it.
Got to be around number five or zero. So the guy that called me at 9 o'clock calls me at 11, and he says, hey, I've got a minor up here, and he's been smoking weed. I'm like, I'm there. So I get there. We end up arresting the guy at like 2305 or something like that. So I ended the year with 127, and which was, I think, tied for seventh in the state. And like, it's one of those things, like, next time, I'm number one. Like,
and that was last year, right?
2023.
Okay, so I thought.
Yeah, so, and I think I ended the year with 11 evals, too.
Oh, that's good.
So, missing 3 weeks for DRE, 3 or 4 days for A-Ride with travel and stuff like that. I still ended up with 127, so I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I would be.
It's, like, that's the biggest compliment. But, like, I say I, it should be more like we. Like, I couldn't do it without the guys that are on my shift.
Yeah.
We, like, to me, that was the A team for us. Like, we have guys that wanted to learn, wanted to know how to do it, and I couldn't have done anything without those guys. I couldn't have done anything without the support of the sheriff. Bars calling in, complaining, like, hey, you keep arresting our guys, and the sheriff's like, hey, how about you not drink and drive?
Yeah.
It won't happen. But the phone calls, the assistance that I got from everybody, the phone calls, hey, can you help me out with this? We did saturation Saturday. We had 2 people sign up for it from my department. So this year we have 9 signed up for it.
Nice.
So we definitely changed the culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's a culture shift too, because you showed me a few things, stories, letters, things like that, you know, that are public, right?
Yeah.
And I would definitely say there's been a culture change there too, which, and I'm not knocking sheriff's offices, but I would say predominantly where we're at, sheriff's offices are not go-getters when it comes to DWI enforcement, right? And again, I'm not knocking anybody. There's some really great deputies out there that do that, but they're not really like traffic guys.
Yeah.
So I think to go in and change that culture to, number one, let traffic be okay, and number two, see what you can get from the traffic stop. Right?
Well, and I think that's something too. I think when I went there, it was, hey, all the crashes go to troop.
Yeah.
All troop. We let troop do all the stuff that the traffic stuff, right? And I'm one of those guys like, that doesn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm not going to a call, I can't just sit on the side and be like, twiddle my thumbs. Right. I gotta be doing something. So I'm definitely stopping cars and I'm going to make arrests and I'm going to arrest drunks and take them off the street. And to me, that's super important. But I think that's something too, that with the whole don't stop cars in the city, that kind of ended. I wouldn't say it ended, but it definitely isn't as loud as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, and I like the argument that in the city where the speed limit's 25 or even 35, wouldn't you rather get a drunk there instead of getting on a US highway where it's 65 or
they're doing 90,
70?
Yeah.
Like they're not even able to get up to 90 in the city because the streets are, you know, so unless you're going down like the main street through town, but
yeah,
most of the time you're not going to be able even to get up to that speed. So you're going to be at 30 to 35 miles an hour and you're stopping cars for, I'm not a big guy on equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at your driving.
Yeah.
Did you cross the
moving violation?
Do you not have headlights on at all? That's one of those things that.
That's classic.
Yeah, that's an easy one. But running stop signs, running right through red lights.
Crashing at a gas station, pissing at a Taco Bell. This is typical stuff.
Just little stuff.
Yeah.
And that's just what we did last night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But no, like I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, obviously here being at this conference is
the national one.
We've never sent anybody to this
mm-hmm.
in my department and got the opportunity to come. And here we are like just having a lot of fun and making those connections. And that's what I said, like the connections you make and the networking we're able to do here is well worth it.
Oh, absolutely. Department.
Like just learning all the stuff. So, but we've got people now that we hired a guy that's just got out of the academy. He's like, I want to go to Midnights. I want to arrest drunks. That's what I want to do. I want to be a DRE. I want to arrest so many drunks that like, hey, you have to go to DRE school. And like, you know, people give him crap like, oh yeah, you're crap's kid, blah, blah, blah. And we live in the same town.
Yeah.
But I'm proud to like have that stuff. Like
of course,
want people to go out and not be afraid to do DWI because it's too much paperwork. No, it doesn't matter if you would take a drunk off the street, you've saved at least one life right there. And that's one of those things too I try to tell those guys is if you take a drunk off the street, even if he doesn't get convicted, you still took him off the street for that night. And that's something I had to learn too was, oh, they didn't charge this guy. Why didn't they charge this guy? But we took him off the street for the night, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't kill anybody that night at least.
Yeah, you've done a good job. Yeah, a fantastic, I say good job. I was about to really undersell what you've done. But, you know, you've done a fantastic job. Coming back to going through DRE school again, I mean, I obviously believe in the DRE program. But it would be tough for me to go back through it. But again, I had no doubt when you said you were going to start with this agency. I thought, there's no doubt I'll see him in a year, 2 years, whatever it is, he's coming back through here.
Well, and that's something, too, that I didn't mention was, so after I got fired, we went, my wife and I were like youth pastors at our church, and we came down to your area.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the Elk River, and we went on a float trip, and we called you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, man, you should come down and, like, float with us. Like, just have some fun. And obviously, the women were smitten with
you.
Like, obviously, middle school girls.
Yes.
Wait, I missed the float trip?
You were there.
You were there, dude.
100%.
Yes, you were there.
How long ago was this?
It had to be 16. I bet it was summer 16.
Yeah.
Because I just went through everything. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't really, like, sat down and talked about it.
Mm. Yeah.
So, like, we pulled over. Yeah, it was 16 for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So.
Didn't we tip a canoe?
You guys were in canoes. We were in kayaks.
Okay, so yeah,
definitely.
That's right. Yeah,
we did that float trip, and you said like, I was like, man, I just don't know if I want to do it anymore, get back into it, or anything like that. And you said, I don't know if you remember this, but we were sitting just on the bank somewhere talking, and like, no, you'll be back. Like, you're made for this. Like, this is what you're supposed to do with your life. And I'm like, nah, I don't know if I believe him. And then it just happened to be. It took a while, but yeah, this. I definitely feel like I was put on this earth to do this job.
Yeah, and you are. This is what you're made. Like me, I don't know. I'm not saying like making it about me, but I don't know what I'm saying is I don't know what else I would do.
Right.
And I think that you have the same mentality of, yeah, I'll do what I have to do to feed the family, but that's not what I want to do.
Right.
I know exactly what I want to do, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, obviously, we don't do this job for the money. Like, as cops. Like
I do, man. Just rolling in it.
Right.
You should be podcast editor. Yeah, that's where the money's at.
Mountain on your bed.
Just mountains of cash.
Right.
We didn't actually have a chair sneeze just sitting on a freaking pile of cash.
Yeah.
Freaking.
Hundies.
Yeah. But it's obviously we don't do it for that. And, you know, my wife's a teacher. She loves her job. She's great at her job. There's many times we get, so she teaches middle school, 7th and 8th grade math. And these kids obviously go to the high school. It's a different building. And there's years we get 10, 12, 15 graduation invitations.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's like, hey, we got to go shopping. I'm like, gosh, dang.
Another one? God dang it.
I'm always like, hey, can you be a worse teacher so we don't get some of these freaking invitations? Have to spend money. But she's made to be a teacher. Yeah. Her dad was a teacher. Her mom worked in a school. Like, it just runs in their family. She was made to be a teacher, and she's great at it. And I, in my heart, believe I was made to be a police officer, mm-hmm. be in law enforcement. It's a lot of fun. And, like, you go home. And you know, like, you run in, like, your kids run up to you and give you a hug. And my son's like, I want to be a sheriff or a deputy sheriff like my daddy. And I'm like, yeah, bud, that's awesome. I want that to happen. The next day he's like, I want to be a firefighter. So you punch him in the face.
Yeah, so yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, you start fighting him.
Right, absolutely. You have to. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just, like, the big thing for me. And obviously with my daughter, like, she comes home and daddy's her hero. She's 9. So obviously, like, your wife. Not awesome.
Mm-mm, no.
So your daughter loves her dad.
The yeah, best. Yeah. She, all about dad. Mom really isn't around that much.
Right.
Kind of absent. Yeah, very absent parenting.
Yeah, like, yeah. What would she do without you? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. But yeah, I think that when you get in this, like, you stay in it or get back into it because you miss it.
Yeah.
You miss that aspect of it. And I would say my attitude's completely changed from that municipality to the sheriff's office where I'm at. Like, mm-hmm. I smile more. I am so much happier. Like, I try to make sure that, because you don't know the right, like, you see all the stuff on, like, Facebook or Twitter or X or whatever, Instagram, like, you don't know what other people are going through. You really don't. Like, mm-hmm. I smiled at a lady at the airport here, and she's like, oh, thank you so much for that smile. And she got a big smile.
Of course, you were shirtless, which but, probably,
that that's didn't probably hurt. Why yeah. she smiled.
It did not hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, it's one of those things, man. Like, I'm just so happy where I am. Like, yeah. I'm extremely awesome, blessed to be here and doing what I'm doing. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I can say that we are very happy for you.
And I appreciate
it. I am. I know Smee is as well.
Well, and that's, and on that, like, when people, like, say, like, obviously I have a, I think I have, like, every extracted shirt, right?
Yeah, you do.
Big fan. You do. Big fan.
You're like,
so,
big extracted. You got more than I have.
Big extracted guy.
But I want to. I want to support you and your business and what you do. Like, as a friend, like, I want to see your business succeed. And when you, so we are here in Washington, right? And I had an extracted shirt on. We went to the coin room mm-hmm. and I had an extracted shirt on. He's like, oh, you know Ryan? And I'm like, yeah, I know Ryan. Like, yeah. He's like, oh, he did This Job's Not Dead at Indiana. And it was awesome. Like, he's one of the best speakers I've ever heard.
He's a piece of shit, but
he's a piece of shit, but great speaker. And like, you hear that and you're like, yeah, like, you get almost prideful of like, yeah, that's my buddy. He's doing great. He's killing it.
He like pulls up his phone and shows him the very pillow.
Right. Yeah, goes straight to the semi-nude photo.
You should just every discussion that that's the first picture.
All right, let's get this out of the way. Check that out. Everybody soak it in. You give them like scorecards, right? Like 1 through 10.
Yeah. Get your pictures. Take them now. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Good.
We should probably do posters.
Right. Don't you think? For sure. Frames.
Don't you think?
And number them. Like 1 of 10 or
something. Yes, so what we could do is made.
We could flip one of our pictures where we're looking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude.
I think that's like a Michelangelo.
Like a little bit of like a, yeah.
We should paint on this hotel ceiling.
Yeah, let's just do it. Smee, go get the, like go get the paintbrush.
The hand, right. The atom in the hand.
Right.
Just the fingers. Just, it's just us like touching PBTs.
Right. With mouthpieces in.
Yeah.
But no, it's awesome to see that you are doing so well.
I appreciate that, man. Like, I appreciate your support. What's funny is every time like it wicks or our little thing goes off, I'm like, I sort of got it. That's Zach one more time, dude.
It's like, God dang it. Like, I never know, like, who I'm talking to. Like, if I send extracted on Instagram, if, like, Kayla's going to look at it or you, I'm like, a lot of times I'm like, I hope Kayla doesn't see this.
I would say for the most part,
We established that the Instagram messages are more his forte.
Yeah.
Usually when I get a reply, I know it's Ryan. Like, yeah. I know 100%. Like,
yeah.
I know she's not going
to
see
it. Yeah, no, I try to stay away from that.
So here's my one question. That I came up with one question. If Zach today, I like I'm holding this up like I'm reading it. I'm not.
Right.
And it's like it's long. It's
like, yeah, like I gotta really hold it.
Right. Yeah, read it verbatim. It's 2 words.
it's in bullet point form. So if Zach today could talk to 29-year-old Zach, because that's when the whole video thing happened, right? You were 29.
29.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, 28, 29. Yeah. So
okay.
He's really proud of himself remembering 29.
No, I wrote it down.
I know. Yeah. He said 29.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
That's why I wrote it down.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So, like, our birthdays are the same month. So, yeah. It's one of those things, like, was it before? So, anywhere, 28, 29, yeah. So, what would I tell him?
What would you say to yourself? And then maybe what would you say to young?
That's a good question. I thought, you know, like, a lot of times it's, you know, if you could go back, would you change anything? Right? So, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I could, like, obviously, it put a stain on the department. It put a stain on my family and my name. Right, so obviously you don't want that.
Put a stain on your car that's like allegedly still in the shop to this day.
Right, it's still in the shop. The dude's still working on it.
God, we got mechanics like, what the hell?
We can't get this lug nut. Clearly, Zach tightened his hand. So no, like, I would say that where I am with my family, with the relationship that my wife and I have, that, dude. Like, we joke about it all the time, but, like, if it wasn't for my wife and my kids, I would not be here 100%. Like, going through that hell without them wouldn't have been hell. Like, I wouldn't be here. Like, and as cops, we kind of joke about it. We have that cynical sense of humor. And, like, oh, I'm going to jump in front of this bus. Like, don't stop me. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm going to do it.
I swear.
But, like, I think I was at that, like, I would have been at that point if it wasn't. For my wife and my kids. Like,
I think he had a reason, right?
Yeah, so I was obviously really, really depressed, right? Mm-hmm. And the anxiety just shot straight up. And, you know, I would tell him, like, hey, in the future, your future looks great, but you probably shouldn't do this just because of this. But don't be afraid to expand and leave. I think a lot of guys have loyalty with a certain department, especially in our line of work, like, right? So I don't think I owe anybody in my department anything. I appreciate everything 100%. I wouldn't be where I am without that second chance, without the comeback. But I would probably say, hey,
body title.
I would probably say, I would probably just tell my younger self, hey, you've screwed up a lot. Stop, think it before you act. If it's post video,
hey,
don't lie to your wife. Don't do that. That's not good.
Especially about your patrol car. Yeah. Patrol car is like part of you, dude.
Right. So, like, when I got that take-home car, I was so proud. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm one of the only guys in the department that has a patrol car to take home. But it's, I would say, you know, there's brighter things ahead. Don't do this. You know, and the guy's still one of my best friends, like, in the world. Like, I would absolutely die for that guy.
I think tensions were just high. It was just a very inflamed time.
Everybody. I try to say, you know, it's my fault. And it is, like, 100%. But at the time, I think, you're like, oh, I can't believe that guy would let this happen, blah, blah, blah. And I was frustrated and I was angry. But I think as time goes on, you, like, your eyes open and you just learn, like, you made the decision. You have to live with it.
Yeah, you got to take account.
Yeah, it's me. Like, it's on me.
Yeah.
And we had a class today. One of your former podcasts guests spoke and talked about leadership. And I don't know if I'm a leader, but I definitely take accountability for my screw-ups. And if I tell somebody something wrong, hey, that's on me. My bad. Sorry about that. Here's what should have happened. But that video, me being in that, was all on me. I made that decision. I agreed to do it. But I would probably just say, hey, don't be afraid to move on and expand your horizons.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, those guys over there, I've still got some good friends over there. Some great guys. Give them a shout out. Coy, Biggs, Dave, Stefan, love you guys. Without some of those friendships and definitely without my wife, I definitely wouldn't be here. So, she's a blessing. She's a saint.
And you are still married. Let's go ahead and just double back and make sure we cover
happily
that.
Happily married. Very 11 good. Years. 11 years this year. So, but
I was married at the time.
Wait, I was what? Wait, wait, time out. Keep that in there.
Yeah.
Keep that in there. So, but no, she listens to a lot of, like, Focus on the Family podcast. So when we
very similar to ours.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Clearly. Yeah. Same line. Like, it's on suggestions. Focus on the Family, the highway.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in there listening to the fundraiser potty. Right. So,
oh no.
And I'm just, we're laying in bed and I'm cracking up. And she's like, why are those guys so mean to me? I go, what? She goes, they called you a piece of shit like 4 times. I'm like, because I am a piece of shit. She's like, don't say that.
Oh, that actually reminds me that I did see Gam in the lobby, and he told me to stop everything that we were doing to remind everybody that Zach was a piece of shit. So yeah. That's that shout out.
I mean, takes one to know one. Yeah. That's all I could say.
There you go.
So, like, they're obviously roasting me, and I'm great with it. Like, like to us, like, when people hear that, like, and I'm sure, so you have the DeFundi's Nuts patches.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. Awesome. A lot of people here want one, but people, like, see that stuff on the coin pages, and I'm, like, calling people pieces of shit. Like, to us, that's a term of affection.
It's a,
like,
yeah, it's a term of endearment.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, that's, like, the best thing you can be called when you do that. And, like, then you have to, like, that guy's a piece of shit. Not, like, me and you piece of shit, but, like, a real piece of shit.
Because there are different types of shit.
Right, yeah. Like, so, I think when they hear that, and we hear, like, some of that stuff, like, they're like, oh, my God, my wife's listening to this. She goes, they're mean to you. I'm like, no, they're pieces of shit, too.
Yeah, so, self-proclaimed.
Right. And I try to get away from cursing, but we're here, and I'm like...
Yeah.
That guy's a piece of
shit. And we're
piece of shit. What else am I supposed to call him? So.
Honestly, the best day of my life is when we decided to not, like, censor all of the pieces of shit, because I think that a few here and there...
It would just be beep.
Yeah.
A few just, here and just there.
90 minutes of beep. Okay.
But, like, it's... We listen to that, and that's a great thing that you guys did for Cody and his family and doing that fundraiser.
Yeah, we're happy to.
And then, you know, Gam's, like, talking, like, dude, I'm going to hurt your feelings. I'm like... Just wait.
Impossible.
Right. So then, obviously, I was the last one to go on that. And you're like, I didn't roast this guy. And Bird's like, well, why didn't you roast this guy? Dance was over. And but, like, you should have. I was, like, thinking, like, he's going to be like, I didn't roast this guy. Why didn't you roast him? You'll see. And then just go off. Like, but, you know, those guys, I met those guys at the last DRE school that we had in 23.
Mm-hmm.
And they became good friends of mine too with those guys. They are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
But great guys. So I ran out of room to call them that. Mm-hmm. So they are good guys, still pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously Keltner in the class, a bunch of those guys, pieces of shit.
Yep.
Right. So, but it's a good thing, man. And like I said, I'm proud of you and what you've done.
Appreciate that.
And, you know, Shmee just riding your coattails.
Yeah, dude, just riding, like, straight to
you're
the
welcome.
Yeah.
Right. So, dude,
like, where would she be without me? You know what I'm saying?
Lost.
Right, Shmee?
Yeah, right.
Just in a gutter somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Begging. Some of those people we saw out on the street.
Just begging for a change.
Just kissing in a Taco Bell.
Yeah. Trying to get that next fix.
Yeah. All right.
Here, last question before we go to final thoughts.
Do I not get any questions?
Oh, yeah.
Just because I didn't write them down?
Okay. Well, this is your notebook, so you couldn't write them down. So I took your notebook.
Stay my pen. So my question was going to be, do you think that your kind of difference in outlook and your positive outlook that you've had since you've gotten back is it because of the agency itself, or do you think it's because of that, like, comeback or that second opportunity to really get to do what you love to do?
I think the agency plays a big role in it, just because, like I said, it's some of the best leaders I've ever worked for. And to me, a great leader is, hey, do your job. That's all I ask. Do it to your best of your ability. If you screw up, come talk to me. We'll talk about it, and we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that goes into the positive outlook I try to have, just because, like I said, I've been blessed. They let me go to LETSAC. They let me come here. They let me go to the state conference, go to SFST instructor school later on. I mean, obviously, it benefits the department, too, but it's stuff I want to do, and I get the opportunity to do, and I'm very blessed to be there. And some of the people I work with on day shift, those guys are just awesome people as well. So I went from midnights to days this year. And all the guys I work with, all the men and women in the patrol division, the people that work in our jail, obviously we can't run the place without all of us. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, like, hey, we need the guys that are going to go out and stop 10, 12 cars a day. And we need the guys that are just going to answer calls.
Yeah.
Like, we need all those people. And to me, like, I think that's something that some of our leaders have shown, is, like, show up, do the best you can, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But I try to have a positive outlook, smile, make sure everybody's having a good day. Hey, happy to be here. But I think absolutely the agency plays a big part into it.
Yeah.
So.
Follow-up question.
Okay.
Off yours. Okay. Or did you have another one?
No, that was my main one. I didn't write anything down, so just, like, one.
Yeah, I took all your ability to write anything.
You could put it in your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. She's not going the extra mile. No way. So do you think it also, like, maybe losing it and getting it back, like, you kind of know what you, you lost what you loved. Does that kind of make sense? Like, absolutely. You realize, like, oh shit, without this, I really
I would say when I was with that municipality, I would say took it for granted what I was doing, you know? So to lose it and then like, man, I can't believe that my dream has been crushed, right? Mm-hmm. So you do that and then you get back into it and you're like, man, I'm back and better than ever.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that
sexier than ever.
Right.
That's what he said. I think that's what he meant to say.
That's the potty. Right. Title. Sexier than ever.
But yeah, we've said comeback like 14,000 times. Right. Sexier than ever once. That's it.
That's right. That's it.
I think losing it and having the opportunity to come back has a big thing into it too.
Yeah.
But I also think that going to the right agency definitely plays a key into that. And like, if you need a job, like, we're hiring. Like, come work for us. I think most agencies are hiring them.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him. So are we.
Yeah. Since we're not saying agencies, no, they don't know where to go. But
DM me. It may be me. Maybe if it's a heart, it's me. If it's
if it's a brother.
If a realistic, conversation, it's me.
Right. Like, if you talk like normal people, it's definitely Ryan.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Woo. Wee. But I'm like, yo, okay, what up?
I think getting it, because I've had the opportunity to go to some smaller agencies, teeny tiny ones, you know, like 3-4 officers or 10 officers. But going back to this one, it's one of the bigger ones in our area, and it's definitely, I think that played a lot into it and get back into it. But making the right decision about where you're going to go and not being afraid to go somewhere else, so played a key into that as well.
Last question before final thoughts.
Is it that your butt's sticking to that seat?
No, that's I'm not sweaty. It feels good in here. That's just the
it leather. Does feel good. I thought it was going to be cold. Like, I got to, like, it's kind of chilly in here. But like, since we've been talking.
It heats up, man. Heats up. Out of everybody you know, let's just keep it to officers.
Specifically the one in front of you.
No. I don't want to be this answer. I will be, but.
Okay.
Out of everybody you know, who is most likely to shit their pants next?
Mm.
I know it's a deep, deep question.
Is this someone who's done it before? Or...
It's up to you.
Yeah.
You know that I've done it.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to answer this question, but then I have a question for you.
Okay.
And for Smee. Okay. I'm going to have to go 1A, 1B. 1A, obviously, Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, you do a lot of instructing now, right? So, but like, if you get out on the
road, he'll still shit his pants
out. On purpose.
Yeah, like, I'll shit him right now.
Why would you? And then the other one's the guy that he shits himself all the time.
Okay.
Like, it's expected. Like, if he does, like, are you okay?
The dude who's launching undies out the window.
Yeah, under the bridge, yeah, for sure. Okay, so I'm an FTO now, right?
Uh-huh.
And we have a lot of downtime, so we play a lot of Would You Rather.
Mm.
Okay, so question. Doesn't happen a lot.
I would rather shit my pants.
That wasn't even
the question. Okay. Right. Okay, sorry.
You guys don't normally get questions, right? So here, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah,
would you rather, both of you, would you rather shit your pants every single day, but no one knows, or shit yourself once and everyone knows?
To me, that's a very easy answer.
Oh, don't answer. Sweet.
Okay. Okay, do we get asked any follow-up questions, or do we have to work off the information you've given us? Is this like that test? I need to know if this is like the test you do.
No, this is all you get.
That's the only answer.
Would you rather shit yourself once and everyone knows, or shit yourself every day? And we'll say, like, we'll give it a time limit. Like, you shit yourself once and everyone knows for a year.
Oh, and then
after the year, like, it's one of those things like, oh, oops, never
happened. Kind of forget about it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because somebody else obviously shit their pants in between now and then. So, yeah, probably the once and everyone knows about it.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. Easy for me, once everybody knows about it, mainly because I look forward to it at this point because it's new content.
Right.
I'm like, oh, like, I've texted these two before. I'm like, just shit them, new content.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I didn't think you were going to say that.
Mm.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to take choice C, shit myself every day.
Yeah. And everyone know about it. Yeah. Oh, I missed it.
You missed that window.
I lined up for it.
Dang,
man,
dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
I failed you again.
I know.
Oh, that's another thing we didn't mention. So. If you haven't,
how many times he's failed you? It's a thing.
If you haven't, so I'm gonna give you a shout out. Okay, I did one of your green labs in Jeff City, right? And awesome class.
Awesome.
There's some coming up. I don't know when this is gonna get posted, but make sure you check out the Extracted on Facebook and Extracted.com for the next green lab to come up. All grant funded. Missouri officers free.
Yeah.
A ride precursor though, you have to have that.
Yep.
We had one in Jeff City, and I lined you up again. So,
dude, you freaking lob me.
I wake up in sweats at night. Like, I can't sleep because of this.
and I'm upset with you about it. In class, so on lunch, right? So we go to lunch, and then after lunch, half the class comes back and half goes to explore or to tour a dispensary, mm-hmm. right? And it's in Jeff City, dispensary. Was it Jeff City or Columbia?
Jeff City.
Jeff City. So it's Jeff City. And you said, do you know what he said?
No, I wasn't listening.
So he said, hey, it's in an old Captain D's building.
Oh.
And I said, I'm in the middle of class. And I go, wait, a Captain what? And you go, a Captain D's. And I'm like, waiting, like teetering.
You gotta do it.
And then it just happens. You're like, oh yeah, it's at this address. And I'm like, son of a.
Yeah, you did miss a window on that.
I know.
I wasn't.
Well, full disclosure, one of our people who was going to be working hard on the grant was there for the very first time. And as much as I wanted to say, Captain D's nuts, I thought, probably better not. And my staff was there for the first time ever.
Yeah, your staff was great.
Yeah, I decided to...
To hold it in.
Withhold, probably the only time in my life.
Wow, that's a big...
Yeah, big moment.
You grew
yeah. that day. Yeah, it's called growth.
I'm still disappointed.
Yeah, he still shit his pants in front of any one of them, but
Yeah.
And I think the grant people would have been like, yes, the decision's been made.
I think she knows at this point what kind of human being I am.
Kind of hard to hide it.
But definitely. So if you are... interested in impaired driving, absolutely. With cannabis being legalized, you need to get to a green lab.
They're free, man. They're free.
Fully green. 4 a year? Is that right?
Right now, we have three scheduled. Budget-wise, we can get three for sure. I mean, depending on how it goes, maybe a fourth, but I think that's highly unlikely.
It'd be pushing if we can do a fourth.
Very unlikely.
And then you can, just Missouri, right? It's Missouri post-class.
So, yeah, it is a Missouri post class. Missouri officers can come for free. We also encourage like PAs, judges, stuff like that to attend. it's not free for because of the way the grant works, it's not free for outside officers, but it's like a very minimal, honestly, in my opinion, laughable fee. But
mm-hmm. yeah, I think I have a PA that is very reluctant to file a DWI marijuana case.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he went, he would absolutely change his mind. Mm. Like, oh yeah, definitely this needs to happen. Yeah. So, but
yeah. Cool. Let's do final thoughts. You want to do that?
Am I starting?
Yeah. Well, ladies first, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Anyway. So
yeah. So anyway, yeah. Back to me and you.
Right.
You.
So I think I didn't know. I obviously knew a little bit about your story, but I didn't know all about your story. So it was good to hear that. Yeah. And I think that sticking with it and going back to the job is. It says a lot. So thanks for sharing that. And I think that with any profession, you can, you know, kind of get, not to say downtrodden, but you know, down in the dumps about it and kind of, you know, feeling like maybe it's not going the way you want it to, especially in your guys' profession, like the burnout level and just the, you know, maybe sometimes not the best decisions or whatever, you know, it's a learning curve. I think that you just have to keep going. And I think you've proven that you can come back and come back even stronger. Come back. Did I say it enough times?
Sexy. He's sick. Bringing sexy back. Yeah, there it is.
Well, I don't know. He got arrested for UWI. I don't know what we can use.
How disappointing, by the way.
Dude, I'm a good man.
I don't want to say I'm a JT fan. Like, I'm not going, oh, wow, JT's got a new album.
Right.
But I liked him as a human being.
And in sync. Right? Big NSYNC? NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Dude, I can safely say I never really listened to a lot of either.
Right.
But if I had to, I'm going Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, I think so too.
I was more of a Backstreet Boys girl as well.
We saw Backstreet Boys in Kansas City. And it was awesome. Dude, one of the best concerts I've been to.
Really?
Of course I know all the songs.
Yeah, you knew all the words. Right. They just like queued back up.
Right. I'm like, I got this. Put me on stage. Yeah. I know all the words. I know all the dance moves.
Yeah, here
Let's
we go.
Do it. But I think also, Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
For sure.
But yeah, no, I think that's my final thoughts is that it was good hearing your story. I think that a lot of people sometimes maybe get kicked and don't get up and just kind of take it and get out. And, you know, maybe that's right for some people, but I think that for the majority, especially if you love the job, just you just got to keep going. You got to keep pushing through, find your agency, find your why, all of that type of stuff. So. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
I'll go next unless you have the last one.
Perfect.
Thanks for being a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Dude,
it takes a lot of work to like be that big of a piece.
Right.
But no, I seriously, I mean, I'm proud of you. I told you that. Very proud of you, because a lot of guys would have quit. I mean, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, I would have went to, you know, I'm sure depressed like you did, and who knows, may have moved on to something else. But I think it's really cool, and I would say even inspirational. You turned a really shitty time into a really positive outcome, and a lot of people don't do that. So I think that's something, there's something to be said about that. And not only a positive outcome, like, you're back and better.
Yeah.
Right. You're better now than you were then. There's not a doubt in my mind. So I appreciate that. And I hope it's motivating to some guys that are maybe, you know, struggling or maybe done something that has affected their career at some point that thinks they can't bounce back. And I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm proud of you.
Hey, that means a lot. It really does. You know, like I said, our birthday's the same month. You're a little bit older than me, but I think a lot of people in our state or even in our line of work know who you are and look up to you. So I definitely look up to you. I thank you for that. Thank you for your, Smee, for your words. It definitely was a dark time, and I definitely could not have gotten through it without my wife. So that's like my first final thought. It's like, Tabitha, thank you so much for sticking by my side when you didn't have to. Like, and I've been blessed to marry into a family that is absolutely amazing. Like, have my back no matter what. My mother-in-law continues to argue with my wife that she needs to stop talking and listen to me more often.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, thank you so much. My mother-in-law's a saint. My father-in-law is one of my best friends. Look up a lot to him. And obviously my mom is raising three kids by herself. Huge inspiration. But my final thoughts would be, hey, if you're out there and you're listening to this, number one, I hope you don't judge me by my past actions. Like, hey, I apologize. I screwed up. I get it. I've been given another opportunity, and I plan to take full advantage of it and do the best I could do. And if you're one of those people who has screwed up, keep your head up. If you want to reach out, I'm sure Ryan will post some information that you can reach out to us, and
sure,
gladly listen and talk to you about getting through some hard times or difficult times. Again, you don't know the situation that other people are going through. It's tough. But you can come back, even if it takes 6 years. It took me 5 years, 11 months, 3 weeks.
Ish. Right. Definitely not counting.
Yeah. Didn't count.
It's a rough number.
So, almost 6 years, but I'm happy to be where I'm at. To the people I work with, thank you so much for being awesome, upstanding people. Except for Heather. You know who you are. She's a piece of shit, too.
I already like her.
Yeah. Damn it, Heather. Yeah. I don't know.
Damn it, Heather.
So, but yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Love the podcast. Hopefully people can listen to this, get something good from it, laugh a little bit, and hopefully learn to stop and think before you do something stupid like I did. So, but we got through it, and thanks for having me.
Here we are, man.
Yeah,
here we are. Just killing it, dude.
Dude.
Just on it, you know?
Also, Smee, you're fired.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
One last time, just... Can we call security?
Right. Like, the hotel has
security. Yeah, they do. Yeah, I saw them down there.
Hey, actually, can you call down there yourself?
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah. I was like, I would leave, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to pick all this up. So when we're done recording.
What? Yeah, yeah. Don't leave until this is all, yeah. Please.
Yeah.
So, all right, man. I appreciate it. Everybody, thanks for listening to The Highway. And until next time, stay safe and keep your head up. Keep pushing forward. And peace.